I don't know what door you came in on, but the majority of people park out there, and they come in that side door. And you probably notice a sign that's out there. It's a sign that says, "Welcome Trainers." We're not starting a new phys ed group or anything. It's because of this craze that's going on, the Pokemon Go. And don't ask me about all the technical aspects of this Pokemon Go thing. I'll get somebody who's under 15 up here, and they can explain it a lot better. But effectively, what it is that you hold up your smartphone, and if you've got the right program or app, you can see a monster in front of, in this case, right over there, where those concrete stanchions are, or by the bus stop, or for some reason, and I really don't know why, over by that other telephone pole across the road. And you do various things, and you hit them with balls, and you collect them, and you can collaborate, and then it's all beyond me, okay? How do I know about this? I know about it because a number of weeks ago, when it was raining, and that's a rare occurrence this summer, I saw a guy just outside in a sort of nondescript truck. Well, you know we have the Women's Resource Center right across the road. So there's some sketchy characters sometimes that hang around. And I came over in the rain, and I was about to give this guy a blast, and here he was looking at his cell phone, or his smartphone, and two little kids in the back, and he was playing this Pokemon Go and just engrossed in it. And I thought, I don't even know what's going on in the world anymore. I don't even know what's going on at the steps of my own church. And that's very much the case. Lots of times we don't know what's going on, literally, at our own feet. That's true in the gospel. That rich man, we don't even know his name, you know, the rich man. That rich man, he sort of knew and sort of didn't know what was going on right at the doorsteps of his own house. He knew Lazarus, he knew him well enough by name, right? Because when he was in hell and Lazarus was in heaven, he called him by name. So when he was alive, when they were both alive, he knew them, right? He knew him well enough. But he couldn't have cared less because he didn't want to know him. Don't involve me. I don't want that. And I guess that's true with all of us, you know. Often, there's all kinds of people here at the steps of the church. We have the Women's Resource Center across the road, or we have people that will shop, and then they're walking, you know, and they need a break, and so they stay here for a bit. I've got skaters. In case you wonder why there's no paint on the railings, it's because the skaters will go down those railings. They drive you nuts, right? It's really hard to see them as people when they're ripping the paint off your railings. Isn't that true? It's hard to see people as people when they just irritate you or aggravate you. It's very hard to see people as people when you just take them for granted. It's not for nothing, you know, that we start off every Mass with a confession of our sins. And as part of the confession of our sins, we say, "For what I have done and for what I have failed to do." Sometimes we're so busy, we can't do much that's evil. Have you ever noticed that? I had a fellow who was a father of 12 children. He was busy in the church. He was doing this and he was doing that. And anytime anybody wanted something, you could always ask Arnold for help and he would have helped, right? And at his funeral, we had another priest do the preaching. The priest listed all the things he did and then he paused. He said, "A guy like that doesn't have a lot of time to get into trouble." Isn't that true? But it isn't just what we do. It's what we fail to do. And we fail to do it for all kinds of reasons. I know, it's indifference, it's omission, or we get busy. Life gets busy, or we fill it up. That's the way life goes, right? And all of a sudden, time has gone. And it's gone. Our children grow up fast. Remember that old Cat Stevens song? The Cat in the Cradle, where all of a sudden the busy father looked around, his son was grown up and gone, right? And there it is. We need to be able to ask ourselves, "Lord, give me the eye to be able to see the people that are put in front of me as people, not just aggravating skaters or that spouse of mine that if you had to live with them, boy, you'd have a rough time," or whatever, whatever. Give me the grace to see that person in their poverty. This isn't a homily about giving more out of your wallets. We have a very generous parish, and I thank you for that. This is a question of giving one of the hardest things of all, the most difficult of all currencies, the rarest time. Time is a very hard currency. I know, and you know. But it means, I would say, that we are called to look at three things. One, to ask ourselves who it is around us in our world that I so easily overlook? Who do I see on a regular basis and I don't really know her? Or I think to myself, I don't know if I want to know her, because, you know, if I ask her, how are you doing, she'll tell me, you know, that kind of thing. But just to be able to pray in this year of mercy, to be able to pray for that one person, okay? And then to be able to pray for the courage to overcome the omission in my own heart, so that I can reach out to her, to him, just on those occasions when God puts them in my path. Who knows who put Lazarus in the path of the rich man? It was the Lord. The Lord put Lazarus there for a reason. Secondly, you know, technology is not just for those who are under 30. We have all kinds of ways to reach out to the persons that we have too easily forgotten or we've lost contact with. When we pray about people, and we are called to pray about people, right? When we pray about people, who is put on your heart? What name is laid on your heart? And what that name means is that we are called to reach out to that person. Now, it's great if you use whatever to reach out to that person. Probably better to try to do it face to face. But God gives technology for good reasons too, you know. If the only thing you can do is to make a phone call for that person that you haven't talked to in quite a while, great. You want to use Skype, you want to use whatever, whatever, isn't that wonderful? Or you want to be able to make that face-to-face contact, pray that those names, those individuals that have come up on your heart and on your mind are such that you will reach out to them. And thirdly, God gives us family. And God gives us family for all kinds of mysterious reasons. Aren't families wonderful? Well, they are. They are wonderful. But they're aggravating too. And by the way, remember that other people in your family are thinking the same thing of you, okay, at the same time here. Okay, but the truth of it is that it is very easy within families to have them on our doorstep, at our feet, and to overlook them. And there's all kinds of history. There isn't a single set of people together, families included, that doesn't have a history and a dynamic. And the history and dynamic may be wonderful, and it may be very poor. But we're called in this year of mercy not just to receive the mercy of God, but to give the mercy of God. We're called to receive it, that's true. We all know we need the mercy of God. We've done nothing to deserve it. And by the way, neither of those people in your family who have hurt you, who have injured you, who have just become distant, who are the ones that you've tried to reach out to 10, 20, 30 times, they don't deserve it. That's why as a purveyor of mercy, you don't give people something they deserve. That's justice. To give people something they deserve is justice. But mercy isn't justice. Mercy isn't justice at all. Mercy is that droppeth like the gentle rain from heaven, as Shakespeare said. We're called to be people of mercy. And it doesn't seem like it's big, eh? It doesn't. All that the man in Hades, the rich man in Hades, wanted was to have Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water to give it to him. That was all. Just the tip of his finger in water. So don't be held off because it seems so big. Right? When you're looking at that touchpad, whatever it on, your cell phone or whatever, and you're saying, should I really phone him or should I really phone her just to pass the time of day or just to do whatever, then just breathe hard, say a short prayer, and do it. And that's what it is. Courage is known in the small things as well. And courage is known in how we build up the habits, the virtues, the habits of our life to be able to be purveyors of mercy. Now today, we're having this inscription, as it's called. It means an enrolling, an inscription. And obviously we're not asking our 7-year-olds, our grade 2s, to write in a book as we would for adults, but they're writing on a sheet of paper, as I said to some of you before Mass, where it says, I, blank, fill in the blank, want to meet Jesus. And that's good. And that's a good thing. And they want to meet Jesus as the good shepherd, as the loving father, as the one who calls them back regardless. Yes, they're knowing this as 7-year-olds, and you may be 77, but we all need to hear it, and we all need to know it, and we all need to model it for those of our congregation and outside of our congregation and parish community. So now I'm going to ask all of those young people, those boys and girls, that are going to be receiving the sacrament of First Reconciliation to stand up. Okay, do you want to stand up? Okay. And I'm going to ask them to come forward with their sheets of paper. Okay? You come forward first up here to me first. Okay? Come on. I have to use this microphone. Got to come a lot closer with my voice. Okay? We'll just wait for it's a long aisle, so you have to wait for people sometimes. That's good. You don't have to be in one line. You can just stand up together. My dear boys and girls, you already believe in Jesus and want to prepare yourselves to receive the sacrament of reconciliation of first confession. We, this parish, will pray for you, and we want to help you to know Jesus better day by day. Together with us, you will try to live as the children of God, for our Lord has taught us, love God with all your heart and love one another as I have loved you. And now I'd ask one parent of each of these children to come forward. Now you can have a lot more sympathy for all the little kids that come to the children's liturgy of the word when they have to walk up the aisle. My dear parents, your children have asked to be prepared for the sacrament of first reconciliation. Do you consent to their request? Are you willing to do your part in their preparation for the sacrament of reconciliation? I would invite everyone to stand. Dear parishioners, these boys and girls have begun their journey of preparation to receive the sacrament of reconciliation. They will need your support and love. As members of this parish, I ask you to signify your willingness to give them that grace and that power of your prayers and support. And I invite you to do so by showing your support. You can be seated again. So now I'm going to sign each of the children with the sign of the cross. As they were baptized, not that many years ago, they were claimed for Christ by the sign of his cross. My dear young people, Christ has called you to be his friends. Always be faithful to him. Therefore, I have marked you with the sign of his cross, the sign of ourselves as Christians. Let it remind you always of how much Jesus loves you and is with you as you prepare to receive the sacrament. And now I invite you to bring your papers forward and to put them in the basket. And we're going to have these papers in a book up here in front of the baptismal candle, and they're going to be in that book from now on until you receive First Communion way off in the spring. And we're going to ask everyone to remember that they're there. You come up and remind yourselves that they're there. You can come up and see them at the start or at the end of Mass. And that's going to be a way of us all together praying for these families and these children as they receive this sacrament. Let us pray. Listen to our prayers for these children and their families and fill their hearts with the light of your Son. Keep them always in your love. Give them your Spirit to guide them as they begin this time of preparation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. And I'm going to make the sign of the cross over you and you bless yourselves. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.